Our discussion of Vietnam just a few minutes ago took us back to a different kind of polarized America than the one we see today, one that's often remembered for the growing cynicism about our country that we associate with those times. But a cynic is often a disappointed idealist, and the young people who answered President Kennedy's call and joined the Peace Corps were motivated by a burgeoning idealism that rejected the seeming apathy of the Eisenhower years. Author Peter Adler is a product of those times. In 1967 and 1968, he was a Peace Corps volunteer stationed in an Indian village halfway between Mumbai and Goa. He's the author of a novel and memoir called India 40 and the Circle of Demons, and he reflected on the cultural shift those times brought about.
The 50s had been a sedentary time. I think this was a time when people were saying goodbye to that.
Mm-hmm. And the 50s also were a very, you know, the image of Ozzie and Harriet America at that time was a very white image.
That's exactly right. It was Ricky Nelson and Ozzie and Harriet,
yeah,
and the Mickey Mouse Club. And
yeah.
And this was the greatest generation coming back from the war in the 1950s, settling into a real middle-class dream.
Mm-hmm.
And we were the children of that group, and I think we wanted something different, as happens with all generations.
By the time the 50s were ending, people were starting to realize that the middle-class dream was a white middle-class dream.
That's right. That's right. It was, and it was a white America.
Yeah.
Everything was whitewashed, if you will.
Yeah.
And so that was part of the culture change. Hard, painful, but went through it.
The Peace Corps is often seen as a kind of a symbol of that culture change, and it really changed the people who took part, including yourself, right?
Yeah. One of the things, I gave a talk about this book called India 40 not too long ago, and the title of the talk is actually How We Went Off to Save the World and the World Saved Us.
Mm-hmm.
And really... a change. I think it was a profound change for those of us who completed these journeys, both the inner journey and the outer journey. It just changed you to live intensively 2 years in a small village, it's a pretty poor village, and get down to basics.
Did it change your view of what it is to be an American?
Yes, it did. I think actually some of the most profound cultural learning is not so much just about understanding Indian culture, but just how American I was.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we wear our culture as clothes and we think we can adapt to anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But we have very grooved in and hardwired values and attitudes, which we now know. But I didn't know that when I was 22.
Were you surprised by attitudes toward America from outside America?
Yes. There were a lot of incidents and things that went on. One of the missions of the Peace Corps was to help others understand America as well as us to understand their cultures and get some things done on the ground if we could. But one of the things that we encountered was actually a lot of anti-Americanism. We were actually accused of being spies.
Really?
We had a number of encounters in our group and, a couple of us were detained and put in jail. And there was also a real right-wing movement that was just generating then.
Mm-hmm.
It was a group called the Shiv Sena. And that has matured. So you have a very right-wing government and a right-wing Hindu nationalist movement in India today.
Of course, you were in a country that was, what, 15 years out of colonialism?
That's right. That's right. So it was young. It was a young democracy, and they'd been British subjects and British colonials, and they'd gone through that very bitter partition with Pakistan. Millions of people died going north and south. And that was, fresh in their memories.
Well, it's faded from historical memories, but that was a hideous year or so in which half the country was trying to kill the other half.
That's right.
And pretty much succeeded.
And some of that still goes on. There's a lot of communal strife between Muslims and Hindus,
mm-hmm.
And it takes place in little villages. And we saw some of it. We encountered some of it. But not to the extent that happened during the partition where there were wholesale massacres going on. And we, some of that still goes on today.
Given that context, here you are, young and idealistic and trying to do some good. Were you able to?
One of the great frustrations, we were assigned to what was called a rural manpower program, was to build rural infrastructure, schools and market roads and wells and that kind of thing. We were trained for that. And we got there, and the program that we were assigned to was pretty corrupt and pretty non-existent.
Really?
So we wound up saying, wait a minute, we got no work, we got no program. And they said, well, do whatever you can do and find things to do. So we did, which is interesting because it, again, put us, relied on our own initiative. So we wound up building a few schools under an interesting program. And we also raised chickens and killed rats. I mean, we worked on different projects that were within our circle of reach.
But what you're saying is you weren't getting much help from the government and programs that were supposed to be
in place. It was a misprogrammed thing. And it was part of a push, Chris, that had happened in 1966 when Indira Gandhi and Lyndon Johnson had met. And there was a major grain deal going on. And Johnson was trying, I think, to counteract some of the negative global publicity from Vietnam. And he said, we need people, you know, to win the hearts and minds. And so he had AEID workers and Peace Corps and others trying to get out there and do things. So he kind of pushed volunteers on India. Indira Gandhi didn't really want this. She said, I have a couple million doctors and lawyers who can't work. And why do we need young guys fresh out of college who don't know anything?
Was it seen as kind of paternalistic,
colonial? It was resented at the high-level diplomatic levels. But down in the villages, nobody cared. Nobody knew about that.
Well, your experience of doing good for other people did you some good, right?
It did a lot of good. I got more out of it probably than I gave.
Do you think that something like that today, you know, people have broached the idea of a kind of compulsory national service as a way to kind of recover a little bit of that Kennedy-era idealism. And that would be national service in any number of things, not necessarily military, but any kind of thing where you're, you know, helping other people, not making a lot of money doing it. Do you think that would help the kind of spirit we've got abroad in the nation today?
I do. I actually am a big believer in it. I'm not sure that I would have said that when I was 25.
Mm-hmm.
But I do see it, looking with hindsight, how powerful an experience that was. And not just for me. I have Vietnam vet friends who said, you know, who came to me and said, thank you for your service. You know, I'm thanking them for theirs. And
yeah.
Ours, we didn't have bullets flying over our head most of the time. We had our own escapades.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, well, we all agree that we need something. We need a bigger goal. People need to rise up beyond just themselves and do something beyond themselves. And there are lots of possibilities for it. I mean, the Peace Corps, VISTA, AmeriCorps, military, there's just plenty of things that people can devote a couple years to and get some things done, and they will value that experience.
Do you think we're today, do you think we're getting sort of more, I don't know, self-directed, less likely to form a kind of communal community spirit with others? Are we gazing inward too much?
I think that we're pretty atomized now. I mean, we're balkanized. And I actually, in another context, have watched two trends. One is the declining confidence and trust in institutions, in government.
Mm-hmm. The press.
Yeah, or the press, or science institutions, educational institutions. And the other trend is the rise of social media. And I don't say that with blame. I just say I think it's having effects that we don't fully understand.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those is the decline in trust in the institutions that rooted so many of us for so long.
Peter Adler is the author of India 40 and the Circle of Demons. He lives and works in Honolulu. And in 1967 and 1968, he was a Peace Corps volunteer stationed in a village halfway between Mumbai and Goa. He and his roommate built schools, killed rats, and started poultry businesses.